May you be helped to commence this morning's service of worship by singing together hymn 384. Hymn 384 to the tune Almondbury 278. 278. Hymn 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. My soul's cast down within me, Lord, and only thou canst help afford. Let not my heart with sorrow break, but save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384, tune Almondbury 278.
May the Lord help us this morning to read from the book of Genesis. And we turn to chapter 37. Chapter 37 in the book of Genesis. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colours. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said to him, "Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flock, and bring me word again." So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, "What seekest thou?" And he said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks." And the man said, "They are departed hence. For I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. When they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, 'Some evil beast hath devoured him,' and we shall see what will become of his dream." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast them into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again." It came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content." Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. They brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goat, and dip the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colours, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, "For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word unto us each, and grant us true prayer. Most holy and eternal God, it is in thee, dear Lord, that we live and move and have our being. Thou who hast spared our mortal lives and granted us health and strength sufficient so that we are enabled to present our body before thee in the house of God, which is our reasonable service so to do. But Lord, we hope it is a sacred pleasure and delight to go up to the house of God, to enter thy house with praise and thy courts with thanksgiving. And so, Lord, we are all here now present before thee to hear what God the Lord will speak. Oh, do speak, Lord, through the ministry of thy word, and let thy servants hear. For thou hast ordained the preaching of the gospel for this blessed end, to feed the church of God, which thou hast purchased with thine own precious blood, called the flock of slaughter. Oh, thou knowest, Lord, the way that we take, the path we walk in. Thou art well acquainted, Lord, with all our ways from the beginning to the end. All is known to thee. All is seen by thee. And thou knowest, Lord, how poor and needy we feel to thee. how totally dependent, Lord, upon Thee. That we do pray that Thou wilt furnish us today with grace and strength, whereby we may serve Thee acceptably, with reverence and with godly fear. And so, Lord, do we pray Thee, look down upon us each in Thy divine mercy, and remember us in our lowest state, for Thy mercy endureth forever. Now, dear Lord, we pray for each one in the house of God. Oh, we are thankful, Lord, to see the dear children brought into the house of God by their dear parents. And Lord, we remember when we were children, and in the house of God, O Lord, and we pray that the dear children here may find a sweet and blessed interest in the scriptures as they are read, and as prayer is made, that they are included and prayed for. O Lord, do bless the young generation, and that those who are teenagers, for Lord, we have read of Joseph, 17 years of age. And we have read, Lord, of the fathers, the patriarchs. We have read of Jacob. And so, Lord, there are the generations to die, as there was then. And there hath been that continuance, as one generation passeth, so another cometh, and the name of the Lord is praised. And so, Lord, do bless the provision of Thy house to all who gather. Leave not one out, Lord. Oh, bless the dear children. Oh, we think of one in Thy word who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And so, Lord, none are too young to be the subjects of Thy divine grace and love and mercy and truth. Thus, Lord, may we be each of us as dear children, children of God, joint heirs with Christ, that each of us may have a personal interest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, Thy well-beloved Son, who has finished and completed that sacred holy work of salvation, and now continues that sacred office as our great High Priest, interceding for us as the man Christ Jesus. O Lord, so that it is he that is seen, instead of us as we approach to God. For since my Saviour stands between, in garments dyed in blood, oh, the preciousness, the sacredness, O Lord Jesus, of all that thou hast done and doth now and will to the end of all time. For thou art the same, and thy years have no end. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so, Lord, do be with us today and grant encouragement. For, Lord, there are those things that discourage and cast us down and burden our hearts and oppress our minds. And we need a word, Lord, from thee to be our strength and stay and our portion, to be our sure defence, our shield and buckler. Be unto us all that we need, in body, mind, and soul. And now, Lord, do remember thy cause and interest here. Those that statedly worship thee here, in this house of God. Be with them, Lord, as they gather. Favour them with that realisation that the Lord is here. There may be that softening of heart, and to receive the word, and that it may take root downward and bear fruit upward, that there may be those showers of blessing. Oh, may thy word come down as the rain and as still as the dew upon our branch. And so, Lord, do grant true spiritual prosperity and further teaching and edification in the deep, precious, sacred, holy things of God, which must be spiritually discerned. And so, Lord, may there be that spiritual discernment and that growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And oh, may thy word accomplish that which is pleasing, Lord, to thee. Thou knowest, Lord, their circumstances of more recent times. But we thank thee that thou hast maintained their lot and upheld them and enabled them to continue. Oh, the prayer of Solomon hath been fulfilled. May it continue, dear Lord, and then do grant a gracious, God-wrought increase, if it is thy sovereign will, both numerically and spiritually in the Church of God. Make thy dear people willing in the day of thy power. And so, Lord, do remember them here for good. And be with our dear friend and brother in office as deacon in the responsibilities day by day and week by week of the charge and care of the cause here. And be with our dear brother Bernard, who goes forth from this cause in the ministry. Be with him, Lord, in his ministry here and amongst the churches. And do remember all thy dear servants today on the walls of Zion. May there be a thus saith the Lord. May there be that God-wrought authority. And may the word of thy grace have free course and be glorified and applied with divine power upon the heart and upon the spirit of thine exercised people. O bless the provision of thy house and satisfy thy poor with bread. Remember, Lord, the afflicted in all their afflictions, the infirm in all their infirmities, the weak with all their weakness, the tried with all their trials, the sad with all their sorrows, the tempted, grant divine succour and deliverance, we pray thee. And so remember, Lord, thy people in their tribulation, whatever tribulation it is, yet may we all prove the all-sufficiency of thy grace. Do bless the singing of the sacred hymns. Help me to speak in thy great and holy name. May it prove to be a word in season. And Lord, do remember us in the nation. Thou knowest that which has taken place during the past week. But Lord, we would look beyond and above all the politicians and look alone to thee. For the government is upon thy shoulders. Oh, may things be done and conducted that it may be to thine honour and glory and for the good of this nation. Oh, we wonder, Lord, whether the Prime Minister will be in the house of God today. Oh, we know not. We fear not. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to touch his heart and make him to realize that thou art the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And by me princes decree justice. And so, Lord, do we pray thee give to the newly appointed government the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of this world, Lord. No, but the wisdom of God, which cometh down from above. And now, Lord, do accept of our gratitude for all thy benefits and blessings conferred upon us. Do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive and be gracious to us, for we are but dust. We would praise, honour and glorify the name and person of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God bless it forevermore. Amen.
The notices for this week are, God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach here this evening also, and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed during this evening's service. Mr. John Hart is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Marcus Funnell next Lord's Day evening, and has helped. There will be a red address during the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. I also have a fairly lengthy announcement as a one-off announcement. The Church has considered the practice of passing the plate around after the Lord's Supper. It was felt that this has become something of a tradition, no longer widely practiced in other churches within our denomination, and we do not read of it in the Bible. However, the collection taken after the Lord's Supper has always been for the poor and for those in need of financial help. Remembering those in need and ministering to their need is an important part of practical Christianity, and the Church does not want this to be forgotten. It has therefore been agreed that, God willing, on the first Lord's Day of each quarter, a collection will be announced for those in need of financial help, and all donations placed in any of the boxes at the back of the chapel or in the porch on that day will be taken as a collection for this purpose. Monies placed in the box in the porch, which is labelled Benevolent Fund, at any other time during the months will also be for this purpose. The deacons will distribute the money from time to time on behalf of the Church to those that have need of financial help. Firstly, they will consider the need of those within our own church and congregation. Secondly, they will consider the need of those that we know about in the wider household of faith, that is, within other churches and congregations. And then thirdly, to help with any particular cases of need brought to our attention within the catchment area of the chapel, those in need in the Mason community. Any member of the congregation having knowledge of such persons in need are asked to please help us by bringing these cases to the attention of one of the deacons. As this is the first Lord's Day in this quarter, monies placed today, either this morning or evening, in any of the collection boxes will be used to help persons in need. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn 967, hymn 967, the tune Salem's Plains, Saxby. Salem's Plains, 407. I could not read my own writing, I do apologise. Salem's Plains, 407 is the tune. Hymn 967. God of my life, to thee I call. Afflicted, at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Did ever mourner plead with thee, and thou refuse that mourner's plea? Dost not the word still fixed remain, that none shall seek thy face in vain? Poor though I am, despised, forgot, yet God, my God, forgets me not. And he is safe and must succeed for whom the Lord vouchsafes to plead. Hymn 967, tune Salem's Plains, 407.
May the help of God, dear friends, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention from a word to be found in the 7th chapter in the Acts of the Apostles. And we read by way of text verses 9 and 10. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favour and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and over all his house. This chapter is the account of dear godly Stephen addressing the high priest in the council, and he gives a detailed account of the history of Israel of old. And then he lays a solemn charge to the Jews, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye. And they gnashed upon him with their teeth, and they were cut to the heart. And that led to dear Stephen being the first martyr of the Christian church, stoned to death. And in this chapter, he begins with Father Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob, and then he comes to the patriarchs. And of course we read in chapter 37 in the book of Genesis where the patriarchs did move with envy. And how solemn, friends, it is, because those patriarchs were heads of a tribe, and the 12 tribes of Jacob are under the covenant of God, the covenant that God gave to Abraham, to Isaac and Jacob, and then Jacob's 12 sons, and their furthers into the Jewish nation. And of course the Lord Jesus came through the tribe of Judah. So we read this account, and really, dear friends, you can hardly comprehend how that brothers could so treat one of their own. But here is his on record, and we see the depravity of human nature even in the lives of God's people, because all the patriarchs were God's people. Friends, you could understand it if they were heathen and ungodly, but they were the patriarchs, the head of a tribe, and they were honoured and blessed by God in that position they held. And yet, the sin of envy, the working of the flesh, because that's what envy is, It's a working of the flesh. Nothing spiritual at all. And here are these godly men. And yet, the flesh is so active under this particular sin of envy. So, the patriarchs moved. Oh, this was Satan moving them in their sad and solemn wise. And solemn it is because Satan does move and tempt men. And the Lord's people are not completely immune from it. So this envy, friends, what a sin it is. What is it? Well, really, it's a resentment of another's favoured position. And they considered Joseph to be more favoured because he was the son of his father's old age, and he made him a coat of many colours. I've heard it said that Jacob should have never manifested a favour to Joseph. Oh, friend, what men sometimes say. Dear Joseph, in varied particulars, is a type of Christ. And he spake concerning those dreams. And that word was fulfilled. I believe, therefore have I spoken. And he spake through the fullness of his heart, because God had set before him that which would come to pass. And dear Joseph, how old was he? 70 years old. And the Lord manifested and revealed to him that which would take place in years to come and would be for the benefit of the church of God down to the end of time. 17, friend. Don't limit God's power. As from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Let no man despise thy youth. If one was 17 and came before a church, what would be the feeling? Would they think, he's too young? Friends, none are too young for the Lord to work. And here's a manifestation of it. 17 years of age. And what the Lord showed. Now he told his brethren, because he spake through the fullness of his heart, because God had told him and revealed to him in those dreams what would take place. And friends, if the Lord has revealed anything to you, and if the Lord has done anything for you, you will speak through the abundance of your heart. Because the heart will control the lip, and the fullness of it, the reality of it, the blessedness of it, will enable you and make you speak. I believe, therefore have I spoken. So they moved the patriarchs with envy. Oh, this, really it's jealousy, isn't it? It's jealousy. And it's as cruel as the grave. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. Murder in their heart. A murderer hath no eternal life abiding in him. How far one can go, a child of God could be left in the workings of their flesh. Oh, friends, and here we have a demonstration of it. And you may look at your poor heart and life and think, yes, I hope I'm a child of God. I hope the Lord has wrought in my soul. And yet, oh, the enmity, the envy, the murderous thought, Satan moving you, tempting you. Satan moved and tempted David to number the people. Oh, friends, you see, he should never have done it. And he confessed he'd acted foolishly. And so we see how even the Lord's dear saints, the patriarch, David was a patriarch. But you see, it just shows the weakness of the human flesh. So, these things are mysterious, very mysterious, and there may be things in your life that are mysterious. And yet, you see, you have to consider the conclusion. What the Lord does. If you just look at chapters 37, you'll say, well, I don't understand why it happened. You've got to read chapter 45, friends, then you'll know why it happened. You see, the pages of time passed. Now, Jacob sent out Joseph to go and see how the flocks are and how the brethren are. He sent him out. Joseph went obedient. And come again. And give me your report. Come again. Bring the report to me. My mind went to Jacob, who deceived his own father. And the enmity of his brother Esau, threatening to kill him because he'd supplanted him. And Jacob's mother Rebekah said, now you go to Haran, to my brother, and spend a few days there until your brother's anger has abated and he's forgotten what you've done to him. Just go for a few days. A few days, friend. It was 20 years. He was with Laban. Now you see, here with Jacob, sending out Joseph and bring me back good word, a report. How many years was it, friends, before Jacob saw his son again? Well, it's over 20. Over 20 years. He went out, but he didn't come back. And he never saw him for over 20 years. You see, Jacob deceived his servant. The patriarchs deceived their father. Oh, that word, friends. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For that what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Jacob did some sowing, friends, of deception. And he reaped the same from his own brother, his own family, his own sons. Oh, we need to be careful, friends, don't we? How we act. Unless the Lord marks us. It may not be immediately, it may be years later. But you see, their conscience, the patriarch's conscience, was slumbering in sleep. They were careless, they were indifferent, and the flesh rose to such a degree, and that which was spiritual was suppressed. The flesh rose. Their conscience didn't affect them at all. How solemn. Conscience should be convicted, should speak any time we do wrong. And here they are doing what they're doing. And their conscience never touched them. And it didn't affect them for many, many years. Their conscience seemed to be completely dead, really, to any conviction of sin. A child of God. But being the Lord's people, the time came when the Lord convicted them in their sin, what they committed years ago. You see, this is what these truths teach us, friends. This is what it teaches us. And of course, Jacob, in varied particulars, as I said, with the type of Christ. So, what do we read concerning Christ? They hated me without a cause. And they hated Joseph without a just cause. He hadn't wronged them, but they hated him. Christ was perfect, but he was hated by the ungodly and by the religious world. You see, friends, the deep things of God. So the patriarchs were being influenced by Satan. Oh, friends, the power of Satan to move a child of God in a way of sin. Now the Apostle Paul said, I have learnt in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment. These patriarchs weren't content, were they? They were jealous. They resented their brother, what he told them. Oh, dear friends, no contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Far better, friends, to be contented than to be envious. To look and see what someone else has got that is better than yours, perhaps, in your understanding. And to be jealous and to manifest it. Oh, how solemn, friends. There's no grace there in exercise, is there? The dear Redeemer, what did he say? The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his sacred head. The patriarchs move with envy. Now, they should have been moved by the Spirit. A child of God should be moved by the Spirit. Now, in our the prayer meeting, in the Hebrews 11, the verse, was it before or after the text, we read this. The verse after our text, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. That's the divine influence and power of the Spirit of God. That's the grace of God. Noah knew what would take place. He believed it by faith. The Lord told him. And he moved with fear. The filial fear of the Lord was an exercise. And he yielded obedience to what God had said. Build an ark. How different, friends, from being moved by sin and Satan. to be moved by the Holy Ghost. Noah was. Are we? All the dear saints of God recorded in this chapter, the Christian worthies, were all acting in the fear of the Lord. And friends, and so would we, and so should we, and so should those patriarchs. Oh, the divine movement in the heart of the Spirit of God renders obedience to what God has said. Well, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is the scriptures. Holy men of God they are called, and they were, because they are under the divine influence and power and leading and movement of God's Holy Spirit. We have the scriptures, the inspired word of God, the Spirit of truth. Because every word is truth. And the Holy Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So, we see the vast contrast between moving under the influence of the Spirit and being moved by envy and sin. Well, dear friends, it may be a word of consolation to you that you're not out of the secret, that your shortcomings and sins, in keeping with the patriarchs, and they were all the Lord's dear people. And so these are on record, friends, to be a help to the Lord's dear people in their cases and conditions when Satan seems so active, and so they move with envy. Well, it didn't stop there, did it? No, it didn't stop there. Oh, sin, friends, it doesn't stop, does it? One thing leads to another. What did they do? Sold Joseph into Egypt. Oh, sold Joseph. They didn't give him away, friends, did they? They didn't say to the Ishmaelites, well, you can take him down to Egypt, that's where you're going, you just take him. Oh no. They sold him. What's the difference? Humiliation. Here they had the money to sell their brother. Here is the proof that we've sold him. We've got the money in our pocket. We've sold him. We've humiliated him. We've cast him away. We've brought him into disrepute. We brought him into confusion. We've confounded him. And we have this to prove it. That's why they sold. Now this is what sin does. It sells. Oh friends, sold unto sin was Paul's complaint. Sad, isn't it, friends? So, under sin. Of course, Joseph, again, in this, was a, in particular, was a type of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of God. Chose 12 apostles to be with him. Haven't I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Satan worked in the heart of Judas Iscariot. And what did he do? What did he do? The chief priest didn't do it. He was the one who commenced it. Judas Iscariot went unto the chief priest. They didn't come to him. He went to them. What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. Think of it. Joseph is sold for 20 pieces of silver. Christ is betrayed by 30 pieces of silver. So they entered into a covenant, Judas Iscariot and the chief priest. They entered into a covenant. They agreed a fixed price. 30 pieces of silver. Judas Iscariot took the money. And then betrayed Christ into the hands of that multitude that came with swords and stones. You see, friends, it was decreed that this would happen. Zechariah in his prophecy speaks of this. And it was fulfilled. But what did the Lord say concerning Judas Iscariot? Good for that man if he'd never been born. To betray Christ, the eternal Son of God. Full of grace, full of truth, full of mercy, full of love. And yet he sold it for 30 pieces of silver. One of the greatest, if not the greatest act of heinous crime that's ever been committed. So they sold Joseph. Yeah. Oh dear friend. Poor dear Joseph. What a path he walked. So there he is, taken down into Egypt. Now, we read of this this selling in the Old Testament in other places as well. Amos speaks of it, and he says, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Israel and for four I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. And Joel says that they cast lots for my people. They've given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Oh friends, these things have all happened. That happened to Joseph. Then Christ was betrayed. Sold him into Egypt. In a foreign land. Friends, you may feel to be in Egypt today. Some circumstance, some trial, some affliction, some temptation, you may feel it's taking you down into Egypt. None of the Lord's people there, not your spiritual home, a real place of worldliness and vanity. That's what it was. Learn it in all the wisdom and wealth of Egypt. But you see, Joseph had to go down. Moses did. And these things, you see, dear friends, are all in the hands of God. Because good comes out of it. That's the blessing, friends. What did Joseph say to his brethren when he made himself known to them? As for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. They sold their brother. Little did they know that God was sending him to be their deliverer. They had no understanding of that at all. And friends, you see the divine purposes of God made known, the mystery of selling him, but the glory of God sending him. You see, the things of God, friends, are past finding out. But the living family of God are exercised in this particular. So there he was, and he was sold to Potiphar. The Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. And so he was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down. And the Lord was with Joseph. Our text says, and the Lord, but God was with him. Now this sets before us a wonderful sacred truth. Whatever circumstances the Lord's people are brought into, the Lord is with them. That's the blessed secret. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. What sufferings, what distress, what tribulation. God is with his people. Dear Joseph had acted in a gracious way. The Lord knew this perfectly. So although he's sold into Egypt, the Lord is with him still. And that applies to every child of God, wherever you may be. If when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God, for hereunto were ye called. The Lord was with him. Friends, is the Lord with you? The Lord knows where you are in your experience. The Lord knows exactly where you are. I don't, but God above does. But friends, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. If the Lord was not with us, we would be finished. Look at Saul. Oh, how solemn it was. Unutterably solemn. What did he say? He was greatly afraid. The Lord hath departed from me and answereth me no more. He was finished. He was ruined. He was done. The Lord had departed. Well, we must draw to a close. I see the time has gone. May the Lord help us to continue this evening. And friends, let us bless God. Let us praise God that He is with us. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 915, 915, tune Saxby 409. Why, O my soul, art thou dismayed? Why in these tents of sorrow groan? And what have thy fond hopes been stayed, still seeking rest but finding none? Rest in the promise God has spoke, in all things ordered well for thee, whose sacred words he'll ne'er revoke, nor alter his profound decree. Rest in the oath that he has sworn, firm as his throne, the same shall prove. 'Twill stand when time shall be no more, and run coeval with his love. Hymn 915, tune Saxby 409.
Communion of thy Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.